Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Under here. Sorry about that. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition. It's kind of like a baby's pacifier to me. It really is. My binky, right? Like my tie. I've got whales on my tie. You can't really see that. They're little whale, big whales. But anyway. Now, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. That's right. It is Friday. It is the last Friday of May, a week from now, folks, awaken to the shaken. You know, we received the schedule, and it's going to be very condensed. You know, this is great. You can go to conferences, and it's like this huge 25 speakers, and I get all that. But this is going to be very condensed, really, Friday night and Saturday. That's it. But one thing, and we were just notified of this within the last 24 hours, there's going to be water baptisms conducted for Saturday morning. So, this is good. If you can, if you're within a day's drive of Gurnee, Illinois, which is north of Chicago, please register and attend. Boy, how can I say this? Do I want to say this or not? Yeah, I guess I do. Eric's over there saying, well, just say it, will you? Shut up. And I got whales on my tie. Everything looks like noodles. Yeah, no, look, we're kind of having fun right now. And if you can't have fun, if you can't really be a little bit jovial in these times, I don't know. You've got to be. I mean, you've got to kind of just live life, smell the roses, walk your dog, bring your dog to the studio. Right, lady? You might hear her snoring over there. And you know, give your wife or give your husband a hug. Make sure you tell him you love him. And get outside if you can, if it's nice. Don't be held hostage by the dire headlines. And a lot of times, I think we all fall into that trap. It's just my kind of public service message to you. Right? Because we all get into that mental prison of sorts. I think that it's easy to do. And, we need to, look, we're on really war footing with North Korea right now, North and South Korea, China, their involvement there. Kind of the rumblings, some liken it to the Cuban Missile Crisis of 62. I don't quite like that comparison for a lot of reasons. You've got Syria, which really is, to me, still the flashpoint, I believe, in the larger scheme of things. And I've said that from day one. And then we've got the domestic situation, which Joe's going to get into momentarily. And I think that's extremely important. The domestic side of things, because domestically, you know, and folks, you know this from your own households. If you've been in a house where there's contention within the house, it's never a good thing, whatever the cause of dissension. And so speaking, you know, from the heart about this, I do believe that, I think that should be very high up on the list. You know, it might not be as in your face as the potential nuclear threat, but you know, I contend and I assert that if Americans were less divided, and if specifically if political conservatives and Christians, and Christian conservatives. They're different. There's differences among those groups that I said. But if we were united together, many of these exterior problems, these foreign problems, may not be as threatening to our country as they are today. And I do suspect, based on a lot of investigation, a lot of research, I've spent probably, half of my research time looking at the different complexities of the of our domestic split, the domestic unrest that we've got here, and tracing it back to just a few groups and a few people, even on the right. And again, this weakens the resolve of the household. This weakens the resolve of people. This causes distractions. I was talking again, I mentioned this a lot. Steve Quayle and I talk quite frequently, and I was speaking to him today, and we were talking for a long time about what's going on domestically, and more than that, what's going on within the conservative right or the political right, the political conservatives. We had a long talk about that. And the connections that could be made between some of the financiers of anarchy infiltrating the political right. A couple of things I'm going to mention as well. Before this escapes me here, I do want to mention that I did speak briefly yesterday to George Webb. And I was kidding around with him. I said, it's kind of like, where in the world is Waldo today? Folks, if you don't know, if you've never heard of George Webb, he was on our program a little bit ago. He is investigating, among other things, the basis of him. Initially, he began was where's Eric Braverman? And then he really was the tip of the spear on the investigation of the Awan brothers. Just a fantastic, in my view, a fantastic investigative journalist. And I've watched him. If you go to, he's on YouTube, George Webb, W-E-B-B. You can get a lot of information just from his YouTube channel. And I would suggest you go back as far as you can and watch these videos in order and take notes. A lot of great investigative writings are there, or investigative information is there, and he's connecting a lot of dots. He's coming back on our show. I can tell you that. In fact, I want to give him enough time, to really lay out the his investigative findings. And he's a very measured investigative analyst. Very measured, very show me the proof. I've got to have proof. And he's getting it. Pray for his safety. And if you have a chance, and if you are following him, or if you do follow him, make sure in the comment sections of the YouTube channel, you just leave a comment saying, great job on the Hagman report, or just reference us, because this goes back to the domestic situation. We have to stick together. There can't be any cracks in the family. Now, you're going to have pseudo investigators or pseudo, you have people get on YouTube and say all kinds of stuff. And Steve and I talked about this again today. I mean, you got people, for example, and I'm going to bring this up because I think it's relevant to today. You know, it's easy for someone to make accusations such as we saw with Sean Hannity earlier in the week. And if, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think that that's a big deal, the situation itself is not that big of a deal. The whole thing, you might think it's gossipy, and in fact, I agree. But when Sean Hannity last Monday came out and said, this is it, I'm fighting back, I'm assembling a team of lawyers and we're going to fight back, you've got these malcontents, these sorrowful, pathetic, pitiful individuals out there who put on the cloak of being conservative or religious conservative. And I say religious, I'm talking about either Christians or Jews. And they use that, and many Christians use erroneously and maliciously use the Bible as a weapon, just like many of Muslims use the Quran as a weapon. But I'm not talking about properly. I'm not talking about the proper use. I'm talking about the perverse use of that. And I'm not talking about being mistaken either. I'm talking about an intentional misuse. I just want to bring this together as my opening statement tonight, because I think what we're seeing here is so extremely important. And a lot of times what seems to be, oh, just passing nuisance stuff ends up being an artifact or a consequence of an agenda that's been in place. And the agenda, or the objective of that agenda, is to divide and conquer. The objective of the agenda is to take down various news organizations, various entities like ours, as a matter of fact. Steve Quayle, Pastor Langford, L.A. Marzulli, Dave Hodges, Alex Jones. And you don't have to agree with us. You don't have to agree with any of those people. It doesn't matter what your level of agreement is with the content or the people. What matters is what happens to any one or all of us is laying the groundwork that could happen to you. All right? Because it would be too self-serving and too selfish to think, well, I don't like this. They're spreading lies about us. It's not about any one individual. And in fact, with Sean Hannity, it's not about Sean Hannity. And he'll tell you that too. Trust me when I say this, because there has been, I've had some dialogue. It's not about Sean Hannity, the person. It's about the whole situation. It's about what's happening in a larger scheme of things. It's the war against the conservatives. It's a war against Christians. I'm going to remind people again, kind of close out the week, because I said this earlier in the week. If you listen to Sean Hannity's opening monologue from Monday, any of those words sound familiar? If you heard many of our programs in the past, I think they did. He referenced people essentially in their pajamas, transcribing every word that he says on 4 hours of radio and television. There are people that do that. And there are people that do that for our show. And there are people that do that for Jones and for Hannity and for all of the conservative shows. You might think, well, boy, they gotta really, I mean, not only would that be boring, number one, number two, especially with regard to us, what do we have to offer? You know, we're not that big, shall we say, compared to a Sean Hannity. Of course we're not. But the tactics go after all fruit. Certainly financially, make financial attacks, get rid of the low-hanging fruit, the most vulnerable of the people trying to get the truth out. Those who can least stand a financial attack. Then go after mid-level. But at the same time, run up ops against the big talkers who do speak the truth. This is what's taking place. And if you as the listener, if you have no, and then please understand, even if you have no designs on writing anything, let's say, or having a show, a podcast or whatever, you might think, well, this doesn't apply to me. But it does. it applies to you, and certainly it applies to your children. Because as we see, and as we are really focused on the geopolitics, oh my goodness, North and South Korea, oh my goodness, Syria, and these are all serious topics, or the economy here, what's going to happen? None of this is happening in a vacuum. None of the attacks on the conservatives, that's not happening in a vacuum. There's a symbiotic relationship between things that are taking place domestically and in the foreign arena. There's an incestuous relationship as well among groups here that you would not think would be working together, but they are. It defies logic. And please understand that. When you have a long-time conservative, or at least that's a self-proclaimed conservative, or a conservative come out and engage in the policies and politics of destruction against another conservative with malicious intent, that should cause you to do a double take. There's more to things. There's a lot more going on, and again, Joe's going to be reading something here, or citing this article about social justice warriors that I'm kind of laying the groundwork for, because a lot of this is so vicious right now. And again, folks, you've got to understand the implications here. What I wasn't going to say earlier, and I know people hate that. Ooh, would you just shut up? Because even my wife hates when I do that. We just either say it or shut up. I was interviewed yesterday for 3 hours by a couple of reporters from the Rolling Stone magazine. I immediately thought of Dr. Hook on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Remember that song? Anyway. I guess you have to be in the 70s to really get that, right?
Yeah.
But I realized at that time, as I was going through that interview, that things are not as they appear. Anyway, there are a lot of things that are taking place under the surface that I'm going to be writing about, and I'm going to be speaking further about. But do not understate, or do not, in any way, shape, or form, do not discount the importance of what you're seeing with respect to the politics of destruction here in this country and who's behind it. And you're going to watch. You're going to see Obama. And mark my words on this. You're going to see Barack Hussein Obama front and center in a lot of this, and you're going to see Hillary and Bill Clinton, not so much Bill, but Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin and all of the players from the latter part of the Clinton administration and the latter part, well, or the mid, I'll say the very first several months of Obama's rule here in this country, Obama's placement in the Oval Office. There's those people, the Van Jones, the people that were just booted out of his realm. These are the people you're going to have to watch. And then there's another segment from the latter part of the Obama takeover of our country. So you've got a group of people from the initial 2009 reign of Obama, and then you've got the people a separate group of people from Obama's exit from 2016. They are working together and are going to be part of this politics of destruction to divide the people and conquer from within. The matter of the Pedogate, with respect to Pedogate, and I'm just going to briefly reference this, which I'll be talking about that. Awaken to the Shaken conference. There's things there that we will never, I don't believe we're ever going to see, and I've said this before, and I've said it on the record, I don't believe we're going to see Hillary Clinton perp walked anywhere after an investigation for anything, whether it be emails or Benghazi or lying contempt to Congress, or I don't believe we're going to see that. But I think there will be some movement, but it will be so limited. Although it will make a difference to some, but not in the grand scheme of things. But understand how that kind of relates, the behavior relates to the social destruction here in our country. So, having said all that, now, the last thing, and I'm going to make this announcement very quickly. Anyone listening to this broadcast, for the next several days, there is a survey on our website. Now, we talk, HagmanReport.com, thank you. Yes, now, obviously, what we're attempting to do, because we've grown so much, thanks to each one of you who have helped us out financially, who have helped us out through prayer, the word of mouth is important, because we've grown so much, we've become, as I mentioned earlier, a target, and a very hot target. Now, to offset our expenses, because people have been so great, but there's still to run this machine, this broadcasting machine, it takes a lot of money, a lot of money. If somebody told me like 2 years ago, this is how much I'd say no way. There's just no way. But anyway, the reason I mention this, there's a survey, a very brief survey, I think 8 questions on our website, HagmanReport.com. It's on the right hand side. It's underneath the show. So you'll see the old time radio on the right. And then right underneath it, there's a survey. I ask that everyone takes that. It relates to advertisers or sponsors of our program. But folks, I'm not allowed to tell you how to answer the questions. This is not an invasive survey. This, just keep in mind this. This is designed by, it's a survey designed for corporate sponsors. So just keep that in mind. No one's going to ask you for your, you know, identity or anything like that. It's just a survey. And if you can help us out, that will help us out. And that's HagmanReport.com on the right hand side on below the talk or below the radio there. There's a survey that, I do ask that you participate in. You don't have to let me know you did it or anything like that, but just please do that. And you'll understand why afterwards, but it will help us out if you complete that survey. And again, can't tell you how to answer the questions, but you'll understand because you're a very intelligent audience. All right. So some of the things in the news I touched on, of course, the geopolitical situation, of course, Donald Trump coming out and saying, could very well be a situation with North Korea. Major conflict. Right. When he says today, major, that's not just major, it's major conflict. All right.
Today, North Korea test fired a ballistic missile that exploded as soon as it was launched. Did not leave the North Korean borders. And you know, we've seen this back and forth, the rhetoric, and then the last two launches from this month have only been attempted launches because they have both failed. But it has Japan, South Korea, and many other areas on edge. I don't know if you saw this today, but Trump was giving a speech at the NRA, and he was talking about NAFTA, and he said, "I am both a nationalist and a globalist." I don't know if you saw that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Who said that?
Donald Trump.
Okay. Running on the nationalist, or having nationalist tendencies, now calling himself a globalist as well, one must ask the question.
Can you be both?
Can you be both? That, exactly.
I don't think you can. I understand. What's the phrase that I heard it a few times on our show this week? Think
locally. Act global.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Think local, act global. But I contend we should act.
Act locally, think globally.
There you go.
Yeah. I think the remarks though stem from what he was talking about with NAFTA this week. he made some strong statements in the campaign about getting the U.S. out of NAFTA. And he reiterated those comments this week, how he was looking at taking the U.S. away from NAFTA. And as soon as he did that, within a day or so, he had the Mexican president and the Canadian president call him and asked him to reconsider. And he claimed that he was not going to just withdraw the U.S. from NAFTA, but was going to, at the very least, renegotiate the deals for the United States. Now, again, breaking a campaign promise, I guess some will look at it that way. But if he renegotiates NAFTA, I don't know that there's a good way to... I don't know if there's anything we can do or he can do to renegotiate NAFTA to put it the American businesses first, to stop the bleeding in the manufacturing sector from jobs being sent overseas and factories being closed down here. I don't know that there's a compromise in there, and that's just my lack of understanding of everything that NAFTA entails and the deals we have between Canada and Mexico. But it will be interesting to see what changes do come, as I know a lot of his supporters, this is one of the big things, you know, the big trade deals, getting us out of these unfair trade deals that gut the middle class and the job sectors here in the United States. When we come back, we got another segment of news. We're going to get into this, why social justice warriors don't represent civil rights. This was a good article I found today, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, because the conclusion is right on the money. Then we have Josh Tully and Dave Hodges. They're going to be joining us after this next segment, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
Thanks to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. News reports that North Korea test fired a nuclear missile, or ballistic missile, I should say, local time tomorrow, Saturday, actually. And it failed. Oops, somebody's going to get killed.
I saw a good comment today that said Kim Jong-un puts the miss in missile.
Well, you know, it's... We shouldn't kind of make light of this, except I think that I would be a mistake to believe that these misfires happen without perhaps any type of sabotage or intervention. I wouldn't take that off the table. And if that's the case, that's good.
Yeah, you have reports of potential cyber attacks from the last missile strike, and then this latest launch, it's being reported that the missile exploded immediately after leaving the launch pad, you know, within the first 60 seconds. So you have to ask, was it shot down? Was there something else? Or was it just a failed missile test? But
I think there's a lot of cyber stuff will shoot down
any attempted missile launches that they deem to be threatening to Japan or the United States.
Well, yeah, I would look at the situation where we are right now, just my own analysis without... Take it for what it's worth. My own analysis is this. I look at the previous leaders of this country, including the 535, and I wonder what the heck were they thinking? Why haven't... When you look at Iran, you look at North Korea, look at how many strides that they've made militarily. My problem is this. We allowed this. If we were taking on the mantle of leadership on a global basis, or being the military policeman of the world, then we failed miserably with Iran and North Korea. But I don't think it was a failure of policy. I think it was an intent of policy, which is a totally different animal. I think that Council on Foreign Relations, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the leaders exerted undue influence along with the military-industrial complex and never saw a war that they have not liked. And I think that this is a big part of shaping policy. You've got lobbyists for the military-industrial complex. And they, of course, make their money by lobbying, getting bills through, and getting the sweet deals for these various corporations, various large corporations. All wars are bankers' wars. You have to understand that. So, being in a constant state of war, don't forget, the Korean War is still going on. And people, especially today, a lot of people don't really understand that. The Korean War is still going on. There was an armistice signed.
Yeah, I was reading about that today.
There's still a war with Korea. But people are clueless to history. This is why I do like history, and I believe history is so important to us. But anyway, that, of course, is something that we have to keep our eye on. May 1st, and Russ Dizdar has talked about the occult aspects of May 1st, but the general day of communism and globalism and that whole occult aspect of May 1st, that's coming up on Monday. We need to pray as Christians. We need to pray against the wiles of the evil. And I do think that we are going to see some things happen because of, or as a consequence to, the activities that take place on May Day, and especially domestically with respect to the unrest. Seattle, for example, is preparing for some domestic unrest. But having said all of that, it's laying the groundwork. When you have trouble at home, in the home, inside the home, of course, it weakens the entire balance of power of the planet. And so just understand that everything is, nothing happens in a vacuum. I just keep going back to that statement. So now, moving beyond that, Greenovative. Folks, take advantage of Greenovative's special. Greenovative, the owner of Greenovative, Alan Riggs, has extended an offer to all of us. And I would urge everyone to take advantage of this.
And he points out how conditions around the world continue to get worse. What's going on with geopolitics, the saber-rattling between the U.S., China, and North Korea, the continuing growth of the political unrest and destruction across the United States. And it's only a matter of time before something happens that makes our day-to-day life more difficult. So why not take action now and be prepared so when the hard times come, when the infrastructure becomes unreliable and the power is not continuous, you can have something as a backup plan. And your portable power source is something that you should take into consideration and choose carefully. And Greenovative offers you the most reliable portable power source out there, the G-Mag Power Pack. And not only that, they have until May 1st, which is only just a few days away, have a 15% discount. Folks, go to greenovative.com, use the coupon code Hagman, and you can get 15% off from now till May 1st with the coupon code Hagman on anything in their store. That's greenovative.com.
Sounds good. Take advantage of that. And also take a... Please, one more time, I want to make the announcement. There's a survey on our website. Right below... we'll go to HagmanReport.com, and right below the show scheduled, the old-time radio there. Just click on that survey. It's really for corporate sponsorship. You'll understand it. It's not an invasive survey. It's very brief. But you'll see. You'll know why. Okay, but this is part of an evaluation process of our program. So we thank you in advance for filling out that survey. Again, HagmanReport.com on the right-hand side, right below the old-time radio and the show schedule. All right, so the social justice warriors, the social justice movement in this country, what is it really?
Yeah, and if you give me a few minutes here, I found a great article on a website that I have not heard before. And just so people have the site, it is raprehab.com. And I don't think the site's name has anything to do with what it sounds like. But there's an author there, Bob Lewis. Why social justice warriors don't represent civil rights. And I'm going to go through some of this article because I think Bob Lewis hits on some very important points here. It starts off with talking about the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. How it was a movement initiated by African Americans to confront many racial injustices that their community suffered. And as African Americans started to protest against racial segregation and racially motivated violence and financial exploitation, the issues were so severe that even non-African Americans who associated with them were targeted with the same bigotry blacks faced. While there were notable exceptions, the majority of protests were peaceful and non-violent. They often took in the forms of sit-ins, freedom rides on buses, marches, voter registration drives to increase African-American voter turnout. And they generally had three main goals that they wanted to accomplish. First, the ending of segregation. This didn't just include segregation in communities generally, but segregation in all aspects of American life, from riding buses to college campuses and everything in between. Until this time period, there were businesses that refused to serve African American community and even barred them from the premises. Secondly, they worked to end racially motivated violence. African Americans were violently targeted for the crime of speaking out against racism. However, it went even further than that. The racial violence was so commonplace that it seemed like any issue an African American spoke in favor of was often met with violence. Finally, they worked for equality of opportunity. And they go into detail here about the history of African Americans in employment and other financial matters, such as purchasing a home. Now, the article goes through some more civil rights information talking about the mindset of the people involved in the protest. It talks about today, how, you know, whites outnumber blacks almost 5-1. And the only reason that the civil rights movement during this time succeeded is because the African Americans and whites found common ground and worked together to end the bigotry in the United States that they were facing. Now, fast forward to today. We're a nation just as divided today as we were in the 1950s and 60s. Racism is still strong and shows no signs of going away. However, this time is different. Instead of whites being racist against minorities and people of conscience coming together to oppose it, people of conscience have been deluded to the point where they now oppose each other. Why? Because of social justice warriors. And this is where the article gets really interesting. And it goes on to say that the social justice warriors have become just as bigoted as the most extreme elements of white racism. Instead of peaceful protests and keeping the moral high ground in their protest actions, the SJWs are showing up to rallies with violent mobs armed with weapons, impoverished bombs, and showing up with the purpose of destroying public infrastructure and committing unprovoked acts of violence against white people, heterosexuals who disagree with them. Instead of finding common ground to oppose bigotry, social justice warriors have divided the civil rights movement more than white racists ever could. As a result, white racists sit back and laugh at the SJW movement as it continues to cannibalize and destroy itself. The author here goes on to identify social justice warriors. They said they created a systematic victim Olympics to divide themselves within their movement by their perceived oppression. It's gotten so bad that white civil rights activists that oppose racism are even being targeted for hatred by minority civil rights activists. Male feminists who oppose misogyny are getting targeted by female feminists. And then it goes into the transgender movement. Even though there is zero support in biology for mammals being born the wrong sex, regardless of the trans movement, it has taken hold. Biology has long told us that gender is determined by DNA. However, the trans movement thinks that gender can be changed whenever someone feels like it. It's gotten so ridiculous that now people are thinking they are cats instead of humans. A middle-aged man thinks he's a 6-year-old girl. Even more insane is a subgroup within the group who thinks that there are more than two genders. Perfectly healthy people are now calling themselves trans-abled, some even inflicting horrible injuries on themselves because they feel they should be disabled. And the transracial aspect. We have people now who believe that they are transracial, like Rachel Dozel, a Caucasian woman who thinks she's an African American. Now this,
by the way, that is one freaky broad.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion, she's white, but she's holding herself out to be black,
mm-hmm.
and standing by it, even though she's been outed as being white. It's freaky.
She just wrote a book, My Place in a Black and White World.
Right. We're supposed to consider her black because she identifies with being black. What the hell is wrong with these people?
Now, this is the most important part of the article, I believe, is the conclusion. It goes on to state, well, any rational person would think this type of behavior is insane. They'd be right. Psychologists have long known this was the mental illness of body dysmorphic disorder, a form of delusion. Yet governments are now passing laws to enable these mental illnesses to go even further. And I got an example of that after we're done with the article. More frightening is the realization that social justice warriors support the same bigoted beliefs of white supremacists. They want segregation in the form of safe spaces in college campuses and elsewhere, just like white supremacists. They have targeted people outside their subset within the social justice movement, including interracial relationships, just like white supremacists. They've targeted whites for unprovoked violence and discrimination, just like white supremacists targeted minorities. Finally, they've targeted anybody who disagrees with them by attempting to censor their freedom of speech, just like white supremacists have in the past. Social justice warriors want equality of outcomes, not equality of opportunity. However, history has demonstrated a long time ago that this is impossible. It's been tried with communism and failed horribly. It's time to return to sanity and stop the social justice movement from further destroying civil rights even further. Civil rights activists of conscience know that in order to oppose bigotry, we need to find a common ground of ethical people of all races and walks of life to stand together and oppose bigotry wherever we find it, whether it's neo-Nazis or social justice warriors. I thought that was a very insightful article, especially pointing out how these social justice warriors are basically no better than, the white supremacists advocating segregation. And talk about the example of crazy legislation. I found this just before the show. The Therapeutic Fraud Perversion Act of 2017. This is S-928. This is a bill to prohibit as an unfair or deceptive act or practice commercial sexual orientation conversion therapy. You heard me right. The Democrats are seeking to outlaw conversion, So if your son wants to live as a girl, and that's just fine, that's just fine with the Democrats, but as a parent, if you find a problem with this and you want to change it, you could be charged with a crime for helping to accomplish this. That's if the Democrats in Congress have their way. The Democratic lawmakers this week introduced a bill that would ban the practice of conversion therapy, treatments that historically have targeted, this is their words, targeted the community, LGBT community, and claimed to be able to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. The propaganda is in the very first sentence. The individuals in question are not targeted any more than cardiac patients are targeted with healthy diets. That line is from the New American, in their article they have on this. But it's just crazy. And in the first sentence of this bill, they say, being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or gender nonconforming is not a mental disorder, disease, illness, deficiency, or shortcoming. And then they go on to cite mental health experts and psychologists who verify it's not a mental disorder. But conversion therapy in this bill is defined as any practice or treatment by any person to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity. Anybody. It can include a healthcare professional or a parent. Not that this bill will get passed, but it's pretty alarming, and it goes to show you that the times that we live in, it's just, it's absolutely crazy. And, you know, how's this going to play? It's just going to continue to destroy our country.
This is a war against our morals, our background, our heritage, and our religious and spiritual beliefs.
Yep.
And that's all that this is. It's to take God out of our entire. It's to take God away.
It's even further than that. I mean, well, they've removed God. It's to take morals.
But yes. I mean, ultimately,
yeah.
You know, and here's the argument of separation of church and state is a fallacious argument as it would be applied to this kind of discussion. Because again, it goes back to our spiritual founding and heritage. You can argue all day long and accurately so that some of our founding fathers were not Christians. They were deists, and of course they were, you know, the Masonic influence and such. I understand.
The separation of church and state, to me is very clear. It's that no church organization should take over state institutions, and no state institutions should take over any religious organizations. The state can't promote a religion. And the religion shouldn't be promoting the state. It's not that they can't. It's not that you can't pray at a city council meeting.
Correct. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. The onus is on the government as opposed to the people, I suppose. But yeah. This really is an attack against our Christian faith. And once more, just to be clear, this country is a Christian, Judeo-Christian country. In the story, it's not a Muslim country, it's not Hindu, it's Judeo-Christian and Christian, and you know, it's kind of funny to me that these intellectual arguments about this can go on for days. I just simply won't entertain that, not because I don't want to expend the intellectual energy to discuss it, things like this.
Well, it's a simple it's bottom line.
The
constitutional rights are you know, piggyback off the Ten Commandments, the basic rights of life, and the things that are outlined in the Bible. But even more so than that, regardless of the founders' religion, the settlers and the people who made this country from the beginning to end, you know, have been a majority Christians. Even today, what, 71% of Americans identify as Christians.
But see,
and
okay,
when they say we're not a Christian nation, they can't be correct in the sense that we're not a Christian government. But we've always been a Christian society.
But we, in a sense, we are a theocracy. And think about this. I believe that all countries are theocracies, even if it's atheist in nature. That's a discussion I really don't want to get into because it would take too long. But I believe that America is a theocracy, and it's a Judeo-Christian or a Christian theocracy. But again, people might be screaming saying, oh, no, that's wrong. But see, all of this goes to, for example, the Obergefell decision with homosexual unification some say gay marriage. It's not gay marriage. It's the homosexual situation of Obergefell, that the Supreme Court ruling. We said, everyone with a brain was saying, look, if you, quote, legalize homosexual marriage, it's going to invite a lot of perversion into things. When you look at it, look how far the perversion has gone in such a short amount of time, in part because fueled by the Obergefell Supreme Court decision. Even though courts don't make laws, they interpret laws, and that they're non-binding outside of the parties. But we've fallen for a huge lie. And that, of course, goes to the social justice warriors who have taken on the mantle of fighting for, you know, quote, gay rights, homosexual rights, and then we all of a sudden have 31 pronouns in New York State for a person, which is just totally ridiculous. There's two. There's two genders. There's the male and female. If you're something else, then to me, that's a mental illness. Nothing short of a mental illness. But this all ties into the domestic violence we're seeing. You see how God, of course, is not the father of confusion. And if we want to identify this as a spiritual problem, which I believe it is, we have to look at the good versus evil war that's going on. But look, the basis for all of the civil unrest that we're seeing, I believe, does trace back to the agenda to rend, tear down this country, to rip out the our Christian hearts, the soul of this country. And it's people like you who tune into the show. Not too many shows will talk directly about this or mix the political with the spiritual. There are shows out there, of course, but
not
wars,
in the mainstream.
No, of course not in the mainstream. Oh, by the way, little side note, you were telling me that Morning Joe Scarborough is...
And Mika. They got a thing, yeah.
I just have two words for Mika. Lori Klazutis.
yeah.
But they wouldn't... never mind. It doesn't matter. I didn't see that coming. Anyway, of course, Mika Brzezinski.
I don't even know why that's news, but...
Yeah, I don't either, but... But anyway, so look at this, and I guess this is kind of the takeaway from these two segments, is look at everything that we're seeing take place, whether it is that lone blogger in the pajamas, or a significant conservative author, or just a writer or a contributor to a website that suddenly takes leave, intellectual leave, and attacks others. You have to wonder what's going on there, and I think this is part of a larger picture, and it ties right into what this larger agenda of the social justice warrior thing. But it goes even deeper than that, higher than that. Of course, you've got the occult, you've got the May Day, you've got the communism, and don't forget, communism, it was infused into our government in the post World War II era, and the red green axis that we're seeing right now, that is to say the communist revolutionaries, RevCom, the anarchists who have teamed up with them, and the Islamic component to that. We're seeing a very these unholy alliances developing. Who would have ever thought that you would see this kind of alliance? Well, is it the enemy of my enemy is my friend? That's part of it. But you've got the lifeblood of these movements having the same financial sources.
Financial source.
Well, you know,
people
point to George Soros, and he's a big one, but there are others. You've got just look at the so-called philanthropists in the people with the billions of dollars. Okay. You just do some digging. All you have to do is go down a couple of layers. You can see the incestuous relationships between among these people. I want to mention this real quick. Keep your eye on this, folks. Huma Abedin is the subject of a federal investigation. How many people know that? I don't know. Of course, she was sidelined during Obama's during Hillary's campaign. But
I posted an article about that last week on Hagman Report.
Keep your eyes on this, because this is big news. Delivery lady, the studio dog at my office. This is good.
Also, an interesting note, the 100 day, Trump's 100 days is tomorrow. And there's an interesting article on Breitbart, as well as the Washington Free Beacon. They have a counterpart to the Trump 100 days, the Democrats' first 100 days, which I'm going to post this on Hagman Report because it's really good, and it outlines the reverse side of the president's first 100 days in office by analyzing the opposition and what the Democrats have to show for the first 3 months of the Trump era. And, you know, it's really good. But Trump's first 100 days in office, Breitbart reports, establishment goes to war to halt president's agenda. And it talks about how the first 100 days in office have been clouded by unprecedented opposition by the Democrats and the media coalition and outside agitators attempting to disrupt the billionaire presidential agenda, to smear top officials, sow seeds of discord and chaos, and delegitimize this already historic presidency.
Folks, I want to say one thing real quick. Christine, we're getting your emails. Thank you so much for keeping us updated. Go ahead.
When we come back, Josh Tully will be with us along with Dave Hodges. Josh Tully from The Josh Tully Show and Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.